The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. And we are broadcasting from our Southern Command here in Memphis, Tennessee, in our heavily fortified bunker. I think everybody's packing heat today. Look, we're not taking any chances here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You got crazy Maxine Waters out there, and you have that fake preacher, Al Sharpton. I don't know what church he got his seminary degree at, maybe the Church of Satan. But anyway, they're all up in Minnesota, causing all sorts of mayhem as the nation awaits for the verdict in the case of the George Floyd death, this tragic death that occurred with the police officer putting the knee to the neck of George Floyd. And we're going to get into all of this today, folks. A lot of developments surrounding this as the Republicans appear to be playing hardball against Maxine Waters. And I am probably the most pleasantly surprised person in all of America that the Republicans are finally, yes, finally, playing hardball. They're taking a page out of the Democrat playbook, and they're sticking it to Maxine. And there are some rumblings, by the way, and we're hearing this from our sources up on Capitol Hill, that there could be some Democrats who decide to vote along with the Republicans in a censure vote of Maxine Waters. But I thought Ted Cruz earlier today, he was on Fox and Friends, and a little bit later we'll play this audio for you. But we have the audio. Well, Ted Cruz was on Fox News Channel just a little while ago, and I think he absolutely summed all of this up perfectly. He said what many of us have known all along, that this, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Democrats want. They want mayhem. They want chaos. They want your buildings burning. Let's take a listen.
Pelosi was asked about this. Let's put it up on the screen for everyone. She said, no, I don't think that she, Maxine Waters, should apologize. And the question posed, do you think that her comments incite violence, though? And she said, no, absolutely not. We are going to hear from the Republican House members at 10. What do you expect them to do? And what would you advise the Democrats to do in this situation?
Well, listen, I think that the House, of course, they should censure Maxine Waters. She does this over and over again. She was on the streets encouraging protesters in Minneapolis to engage in violence, to engage in riots. Listen, in Minneapolis and all across the country, shop owners, cities are preparing for violent riots. And there are Democrats like Maxine Waters who are encouraging. They want to see more stores looted. They want to see more police cars firebombed. They want to see the violence because they think it serves their political ends. And the dirty little secret is, as bad as Maxine Waters' comments were, they're not an outlier in the Democratic Party. You have Democrats encouraging this violence. For example, the last time we had riots all across the country, Kamala Harris raised money for the bail to bail out the violent protesters who were committing these acts of violence. And today's Democratic Party has decided that violence can benefit them politically. I think it's wrong. I think we should condemn violence from any political perspective, whether right wing, left wing, or no wings at all. Violence is never acceptable, and we ought to be keeping people safe. Sadly, that's not where the Democrats are.
And the senator raises a very valid point here. And folks, you need to understand that we are moving into a very dangerous period of American history. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a mighty hopeful guy. And the reason why is because we are one nation under God. And I place my hope and I place my trust in God, not some sort of a political party. Now, that doesn't mean we're about to go through a rough spot, that it's going to be very painful for the country. I have no doubt that's going to happen. But at the end of the day, I still believe in my heart of heart, I cling to this truth that good will prevail over evil, as they say. I believe that. And I believe when all is said and done, that at the end, and again, we may have to go through cities being burned down. That may have to happen. We may have to go through a period of living under a socialist regime. That may happen. But if good, God-fearing American patriots rise up and we stand together, we can fight back against this. And it may be ugly, but at the end of the day, I do believe good will prevail over evil. Now, there are some of my colleagues in the talk radio community, and you tune in and you listen to their programs, and it sounds like we're at the end of the world. We're not there yet, but we are facing some difficult days and very dangerous days. And we're seeing this play out right now in Minneapolis. And I suspect, regardless of the verdict, we are going to see violence. These people thrive on burning things down. Keep in mind, Black Lives Matter, what exactly have they created in this country? Aside from chaos and carnage, what has the Black Lives Matter movement done to better black lives in America? I'll give you an example. In Memphis, Tennessee, where we broadcast this radio program from, just the other day, a big news story, they are turning a crosswalk into a Black Lives Matter crosswalk in Memphis. It's a big, major story. They're spending Lord knows how many tax dollars to write Black Lives Matter on the crosswalk. Now, this is interesting because Memphis, Tennessee, we have some of the largest potholes in America. As a matter of fact, it looks like craters on the moon, these potholes in the streets. We don't have any money to fix the potholes, but we've got money to write Black Lives Matter on the crosswalk. And that would be almost okay, I guess, if not for a dirty little truth. You see, in Memphis, Tennessee, black lives do not matter. You see, in Memphis, Tennessee, like Minneapolis, we are controlled by progressive Democrats. This is a majority black city. For the past 30, 40 years, we have been controlled by black politicians. And yet they continue to blame the plight of the black man on the white man. Even though this is a majority black city. But beyond that, over 300 people were killed last year on the streets of Memphis. We have one of the most violent crime rates in all of America. It's unbelievable. And when you break down the numbers, I don't know, and Grace, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I would say about 98% of the people who were shot and killed, it was a black-on-black crime.
I would say that's pretty close statistic, yes.
And it's happening every single day. We are on record right now. We are on the verge this year of breaking last year's record, which broke the previous year's record.
Yes, we're on the way.
So clearly in Memphis, Tennessee, black lives do not matter. It's unbelievable. But they turn a blind eye to this. And this is happening, I guarantee you, this is happening in many other cities around the country. By the way, just as an aside, I know exactly where this crosswalk is. It's a very popular part of town. Grace Baker, you know, there's a spotlight on me, and a lot of people recognize me around Memphis.
Yes.
When I'm out and about at the Kroger grocery shopping or down at the barbecue joint, the commissary.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very concerned, am I going to be allowed to use this crosswalk as a white person?
Well, that's a good question.
Or will I have to jaywalk? I don't want to. I don't want anybody to say, "What? There goes Starnes crossing the street in the Black Lives Matter crosswalk." That's white privilege.
I guess what I would suggest is watch and see what everyone else is doing, and follow their lead.
Because right across the street on the other side is an LGBT rainbow flag crosswalk.
Yes,
I may have to jaywalk.
I have walked across one of the rainbow crosswalks before.
It is what it is.
Didn't want to get hit by a car.
That being said, ladies and gentlemen, no, don't want to do that. That being said, there are a lot of problems in this country. And the Democrats want you to take your eyes off the problems. And the way they can do that is by setting our cities and our communities, our neighborhoods on fire. That's what they're doing. You know what Maxine Waters is doing? She is behaving. Alan Dershowitz is right. He was on Newsmax talking about this. He says, you know what? Maxine Waters has adapted the tactics of the KKK. And she's and he's absolutely right. These people are terrorizing us. And they've conditioned you not to say anything about it because you'll be accused of being a racist. Meanwhile, if you look at Minneapolis, Minnesota right now, an American city, a major American city on American soil, business after business boarded up with the plywood. People are guarding their communities with private security forces. Those who can afford to have already gotten out of town. It looks like London before the Blitzkrieg. An American city under siege. And you've got Maxine Waters and you've got the White House and Nancy Pelosi standing up and saying, well, you know, if the city's going to burn, the city's going to burn. Ultimately, this is about destabilizing our country. That's what this is all about. And we've got a lot of audio to play here. There's some very dangerous things happening in our country. Now, the question is, what are we going to do about it? And the question is, how have you prepared yourself for what could happen in the aftermath of this verdict? 844-747-8868. It's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, the live show blog is up and running. All sorts of great stories for you to check out. The Ted Cruz audio you just heard, we have the video of that just posted on ToddStarnes.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
I don't know what's more confrontational than killing people, innocent people this year, like David Dorn. I don't know what's more confrontational than burning down cities and looting and destroying businesses and terrorizing people in the streets. I don't know what Maxine Waters wants her thugs and criminals to do, but she told them to get more confrontational. And so it sounds like she's trying to start a war.
You go, girl. Well done. That's Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line yesterday. And she's absolutely right. These people are criminals and thugs. And what about David Dorn? You know, his death, his murder did not fit the narrative of the left. You know, here's a guy, worked all of his life. He was a police officer, I believe a captain in the St. Louis PD. He was working private security, retired. He could have been off at the beach somewhere, but he's still there in St. Louis supporting his community. He was doing some security work and he was shot dead during the protest in St. Louis. Just the other day, and to give you a great example of this, just the other day, there was a carjacking and a shooting, an officer-involved shooting in right out somewhere in Minneapolis, or in somewhere in Minnesota, rather. And Black Lives Matter mobilized. I mean, they were fired up because apparently the carjacker was shot by the police. They were getting ready to mobilize, to burn something down. And then something happened, ladies and gentlemen. They discovered the skin color of the carjacker. Turned out he was a white guy. He was a Caucasian. He was a cracker. He was a honky. And you know what happened? Black Lives Matter. Stand down, people. Stand down. Nothing to see here. Let's get back to the looting of Minneapolis. Move along now. That's what they do. That is what they do. There was a horrible shooting just the other day in Chicago at the McDonald's. Lady in the drive-thru, her little girl, somebody opens fire, a couple of people get shot, the little girl's dead. The images are heartbreaking. The police rushing in, it's all on video, the police rushing in, carrying the lifeless child to the hospital, rushing her to the hospital. And you know what? Black Lives Matter, they don't give a damn about that. They don't care about that girl. You know why? because the gunman turned out to be a minority. It doesn't fit their narrative. They don't care. It's despicable. You know, this goes back, ladies and gentlemen, all of this goes back to the fact that, yes, we are one nation under God, but many of us are godless. People, they don't go back to, they don't go to church. They don't have any sort of moral center in their life, and therefore life doesn't matter. It does not matter. All you have to do is look at our culture to understand that life does not matter in America. Look at our movies. Look at our music. Look at our games that we play. I'm not saying any of these things cause people to get out there and blow people up, but there is a mindset involved here that we just don't care. We glorify the violence. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, now you have Democrats up on Capitol Hill that are lashing out at the Republicans. And they're saying, well, everybody knows what Maxine Waters was talking about. She wasn't advocating violence. That's a load of horse manure, ladies and gentlemen. This woman has been advocating for violence and calling for violent acts against conservatives since the days of the early days of the Donald Trump administration. And I think there's a pretty darn good argument that can be made that at the very least, she is anti-police. And that's what this is ultimately all about. They're putting a target on every single law enforcement officer in America. By the way, the judge came out yesterday in this case. And the attorneys for Derek Chauvin rightfully said, you need to declare a mistrial. Because, again, until late yesterday, the jury was not sequestered. So they got to see all of this. They got to hear Maxine Waters' threats. They got to hear the mayor of Minneapolis say George Floyd was killed by police officers. End of story. So the question now is, was the jury intimidated? Are they going to buy into this? The judge refused to issue a mistrial, but he said, you know what, Maxine Waters' comments, it could result in an appeal and they could throw out the whole verdict, whatever it is. We'll have to wait and see on that. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868, Dino in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on Nuga Radio. Dino, what's on your mind?
Well, you brought up some good points that no one seems to bring up. You're the one that does it, Gracie. Now, I worked in Chicago 2012, and I got there on the 1st of June 2012. It was a Sunday night. That weekend, they had 9 murders and 57 wounding, and they were all Afro-Americans. No one in Chicago got up and got mad. They don't seem to do anything. Now, 85% of our jails are filled with blacks, which is unfortunate, but there's a reason they're there. And, you know, someone has to step up. And like I was talking to my cousin in Boston yesterday, and he brought up the fact, why isn't somebody out there standing up for our police force, which I would be the first one to do that. What do you think about that?
Dino, that's an interesting thought, and you're right. I mean, when you look at the numbers coming out of Chicago on the weekend, we're talking about a war zone. We're talking about dozens of people that are being shot, predominantly black Americans, and you're right. The mainstream media, they don't care about that. Their narrative is, we've got to get the police, we've got to convince people that police officers are racist, the system is racist, therefore we've got to destroy the system. So at the end of the day, and Dino, appreciate the call, we're coming up on a break here, and we're going to continue this thought after the bottom of the hour news. But Dino raises a great point. Why is it that the mainstream media turns a blind eye to black-on-black violence? It's a horrible thing that's happening. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And I got to tell you, for such a time as this, we've been talking about protecting our families, our neighborhoods, our communities, our businesses from these rampaging mobs of anarchists. That's why you need to be checking out ConstitutionCoach.com. Our friends over there are sponsoring this program, and they have some incredible seminars, great workshops, and some of the best gun safety training classes in America. ConstitutionCoach.com, led by our good friend Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Not only are you going to get some great seminars and great intel on the Constitution, but you're also going to get some incredible gun training at the premier gun training facility in America. You say, well, Todd, how can I be a part of this great weekend? It's very simple. All you have to do, go to the website, constitutioncoach.com, and they have programs throughout the year. They're great weekend conferences, and they're for the whole family. You know, we had Rick on the show a couple of days ago. He said, Todd, most of the people who come are actually women. So all of you single conservative guys out there, you know, that you never know. You might be able to meet your mate there at ConstitutionCoach.com. So again, folks, they have some great discounts for our listeners. ConstitutionCoach.com. Go check it out today. All right, let's get right to the phone lines here, 844-747-8868. I'm also curious to know, do you agree with the judge here? Should the judge have declared a mistrial based on what Maxine Waters said and based on what the mayor of Minneapolis, Minnesota said? We're going to be taking your calls on that as well. Let's go to Natalie, Hot Springs, Arkansas, listening to us on the great KARN. Hi, Natalie, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. Thank you very well. So I am really listening in on the facts and the matters at hand with what Maxine Waters had said, and I do agree that there should be some consequences as for her behavior. And I'm also I know deep down that a lot of the evil that's been running through our country has its time and place. And we're trying to fight that evil with the best we can without violence. It seems the only violence that's been happening has been from the left, and they haven't been held responsible. But their time will come, and we just are doing the best we can to be the good people, and we have been. So I'm just waiting for that time to come, and we just need to be patient and expect good things to happen to good people, and the bad people and the evil that's running this militia, this campaign, will get their day.
Natalie, these are domestic terrorists. These people are domestic terrorists. Their goal in life is to inflict terror in yours. Anyone who disagrees with their ideology, and I want to be very clear here, most of the crowds we're talking about in Minneapolis right now, Seattle, Portland, most of these people are white folks, and they're out there embracing the Black Lives Matter movement, and they're causing all sorts of mayhem here. So this is not a black issue or a white issue. This is an America issue. We have radical socialist Marxists who are inflicting great pain and damage and destruction on our cities. And Natalie, that's what we've got to address here. You're right, it is evil.
They don't know any better from places like China that have no human rights and watching what's happening in Hong Kong. They have no brains whatsoever to think that communism actually works. More people have died in the hands of communism than they have in all the wars put together. If they like that so much, they should try living in North Korea, who hate Americans from day one, who are taught that from day one in schools. So we just need to keep our heads up and be the moral exemplars of the movement and not act like them, and keep ourselves in line with what is truth.
And Natalie, again, to your point, a few days ago, I saw a beautiful image on social media, thousands and thousands of young people in Hong Kong, and they were out defying the communists, the Chinese communists, and they were waving the American flag. And then I think about I think about people in this country, the same age, and they are taking a knee to the flag. They're burning the flag. I would say that those young people in Hong Kong are more American than the thugs and the punks that are out there burning Old Glory in American streets.
Huge risk. They take a very big risk when they do that. Most people will go underground and be tortured, especially if you're being arraigned by the Chinese Communist Party.
And look, here's my take. And again, Natalie, thank you for the call. And here's my take on this, folks. If you love communism, you know what? Delta, I'm sure they'll be more than happy to drop you off anywhere in China, even the Wuhan province. I have no doubt about that. So if you don't like America, you can leave it. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That's what Grandma Stearns used to say back in the day. By the way, you folks listening to us on KARN, pay attention here for just a brief moment. Now, many of you know that there is going to be a change on your radio station, and this has nothing to do with the local folks at KARN in Little Rock. Those are good, patriotic, God-fearing people, and we love them. Unfortunately, they don't have a say in the programming that they are being forced to carry. And so sometime during the month of May, this program will go away. We will not be on KARN. You say, well, Todd, what can we do? How can we? Well, one thing you can do is call the radio station. But be nice and polite, because these people, they don't have any say over this. But you need to let them know if you love this program or not, and if you want them to be able to try to fight to keep it. In the meantime, you still will be able to listen to this program. You can do it on our website, toddstearns.com. Or you can watch the show on our Facebook live stream. That's not going away. But it's very disappointing. But again, we understand, you know, the corporations, they make these decisions, and we're certainly not happy about it. But, you know, it is what it is. And I got to be honest with you, KARN listeners, I'm just going to go take a leap of faith here. I suspect this is going to be a short-term thing. I suspect we'll be back 11 to 2 in your community in no time flat. Lickety split, as they say in Gainesville, Georgia. All right, let's go to, well, I think they say that in Gainesville, Georgia. If they don't, somebody at WDUN will let me know. Let's go to Heath, Conway, Arkansas. And Heath is listening to us on KARN. Hi, Heath. What's up?
Well, Todd, we're still going to be listening to you here in Little Rock. We're going to find a way. We're going to make sure that we let the radio station know, because we love you here. Hopefully we'll get you back soon. Like you said, it won't be very long before you're back on the air here in Little Rock.
Well, you're but, kind to say that, Keith. Appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's been a pleasure listening to you since you've been on here. I think I could call every day and visit with you because we agree on 99% of everything that you guys talk about. The call you had just a minute ago was talking about the media that doesn't cover the violence in Chicago. And the reason they don't do it, I mean, that was the last thing you said, why don't they do that? And the reason is, and you know, is because it doesn't fit the narrative of the left media. They don't want those words to get out. They don't want to know that most of the crime that happens, and I hate it, but most of the violence is either white on white or black on black, wherever the violence is, unless you're talking about some of these one-off mass shootings. But the gun control in Chicago, if they allowed everybody to have guns, I don't think the violence would go down or go up, because all the violence is targeted from black on black, drug crime, gang crime. None of it, most of it is not your regular breaking into a home, because that's when a homeowner like myself, somebody came to my door, you know, at least I could protect myself.
Yeah, you know, Heath, there's something to that. And again, this is what angers me about this narrative. You know, on this program, we believe all lives do matter. And that means doing what we can to stop the violence in everybody's neighborhood. And, you know, there are a lot of black folks here in Memphis, Tennessee, for example, that they want their kids to be able to go to a school and be educated, to get a good education. They want their kids to be able to play in the playgrounds or ride their bicycle in the streets and not have to worry about a drive-by shooting. I mean, those are values that we all share, no matter our skin color. And what really bothers me about all of this, and every now and again I'll get a bee in my bonnet over this, Heath. You know, people, you know, I get called a racist. I don't know, 30, 40, 50 times a day. But in reality, Heath, we and my company, we donate a lot of money to charity to help minority communities. We provide scholarship money for minority students. You know, we're doing what we are called to do, not just as Americans, but as people of faith, to help our fellow man. And that's what we do here. So it's real easy for the left to come out and say, well, you know, Stearns is a racist. He hates black people. No, I hate people who are out there denigrating other folks and saying that all lives don't matter. Because when all lives don't matter, Heath, you get what's happening in Minneapolis right now, where it looks like a war zone.
Oh, it's scary. And what Maxine and other Democrats have said, Maxine's been trying to stir up violence, I think, her entire career. I mean, the left obviously feeds on it. But, she is, violence starts with a vial. You know, I think she's just a vile individual. I think that she just feeds on hate. And that's how they, that's how they want to gain power, is by fear.
Remember what happened. Remember what happened just a couple of days ago, Heath. And God bless you and thank you for that call. Remember what happened a few days ago on the floor of the one of the subcommittee hearings.
Shut your mouth.
You had Jim Jordan out there saying, when are we going to get our freedom back? Demanding to know of Dr. Fauci, when are we going to get our freedom back? And what did Maxine Waters say to Jim Jordan? Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
That's what she said. Shut your mouth. That's an angry woman. And that's a woman who craves power. And the scary thing is, somebody like Maxine Waters, you give her power, you get tyranny. And those are the Democrats. And that's why I'm very concerned about, by the way, Joe Biden. Hold on just a second here. We have some new intel. Joe Biden just came out. He was asked about the verdict here. And Biden is basically towing the party line, suggesting that, well, the evidence is out there, and, we're hoping that the verdict is right. You know, again, this wink and this nod, if Donald Trump were doing this, they would have already filed impeachment proceedings against I guarantee you. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Did the judge do the right thing here? He could have called a mistrial, but he did not. Did he do the right thing? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hey, excited to announce that Dog the Bounty Hunter, he's going to be on the program a little bit later on today. You're going to want to stick around for that interview. He's got some things to say about what's happening up in Minneapolis. Also, a little bit of breaking news to share with you out on Long Island, which is that big part of New York City that juts out into the ocean. That's Long Island. Brooklyn, at the foot of it, you have a town called West Hempstead, which is in Nassau County. This is coming from the NBC affiliate there. There was an active shooter who opened fire inside a grocery store. Three people shot. One person has died, and the gunman is on the loose. So that's all the information we have right now. But the report is that at least one person has apparently died, and the suspect still on the loose. School's on lockdown. So you folks listening to us out there on Long Island, be careful and be listening to your radio for the latest updates on that. All right, let's get back to the phones here. Let's go to Dakota, listening to us on our live stream in Ohio. Hi, Dakota. What's on your mind today?
Thanks for having me on, Todd. I wanted to say that first. I wanted to make a few comments about what's going on in Minneapolis. I think it's failure of leadership and failure of leadership at the local level, the state level, and ultimately the federal level. And I think the voters in general, they're I think they need to start electing people who are not of the establishment breed, but of the working class, and people like me and you, and people who actually make a difference, rather than these elite people who think that they know what's best for us.
Dakota, I think that's going to happen. And whether the rhinos in the Republican Party understand this or not, their party has been radically transformed thanks to Donald John Trump. And it really has become a party of the blue-collar worker, the average American working man, the average American working woman. It is not the party of the country club elites anymore. And again, not that there's anything wrong with that. But the Republican Party, for far too long, has been in bed with big business. And they have turned a blind eye as these corporations have sent their factories and their plants overseas. They have screwed the American workers, screwed local communities, and they don't care. They just don't care. Well, that is changing thanks to the policies that Donald Trump implemented during his presidency. And I suspect that people like Lisa Murkowski and maybe even people like Liz Cheney are going to be very shocked when they get back home and they understand that their constituents are no longer their constituents. Dakota, thank you for the call. Let's go to Ken in Arkansas on KARN. Hey, Ken, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, I'm glad you put that information out there because I didn't know you were, going to be losing you for a little bit, and I'll be making that phone call when I get off here.
Well, thank you, Ken. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I've loved listening to you since I found you here. That judge, I appreciate what he said, that racist Waters, but I tell you what, he's botched it from day one. They asked you to move it. You wanted this in your courtroom, and you're getting what, and all you had to do was, if you wasn't going to move it, sequester the jury from day one, because you can't tell me as an educated man you didn't see this coming.
Yeah, this whole thing has been weird, Ken, and I don't know much about the attorneys representing the officer, and I hope he got the best that he could get. But it just seems to me this should have been moved out of the city, that the jury should have been sequestered from day one so that they would not be influenced. Because, Ken, you and I both know they're listening. They see the news reports. They hear what's going on, and that is going to influence what happens in that deliberation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Todd, have a great afternoon. And like I said, I'll be making that phone call. And, man, try to get back here as fast as you can.
Ken, we're going to do our best. God bless you, sir. Appreciate that. And, again, all of our Little Rock listeners, you will be able to listen to us online at toddstarns.com. You'll also be able to watch us on our Facebook live stream. In the meantime, we are adding stations all over America. We're going to be announcing our brand-new affiliate in Phoenix, Arizona, coming up. And also, you folks in Hendersonville, North Carolina, we're coming to your town, too. We're going to have to get a bigger front porch. This is unbelievable. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, people of the earth. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. May the force be with you and all that jazz. Wow, we've got a great hour lined up for you. Great to have you with us. We have a very special guest coming up. Our good friend, Dog the Bounty Hunter, is going to drop by. And he's going to give us his take on what's happening in really major cities across the country as these Antifa thugs, these domestic terrorists, battle with law enforcement. Also, another big story we're going to be talking about this hour, President Trump last night over on Hannity's show on Fox News Channel, and the president was asked about whether or not he would consider running for election again in 2024. Let's take a listen. Cut number 11.
Are you running again in 2024? What are the odds? If I were to
first of all, it's a long time. The odds. What are the odds? Look,
the odds.
I got tremendous numbers. Nobody's ever gotten the numbers I got. No sitting president's come even close. There's more popularity now than there was the day before the election because they see how bad things are at the border. They see what's going on. They see that their guns are going to be gone, their Second Amendment, their taxes are going up, regulations are going through the roof, jobs are going to go out. What do you see? You know, this is going to take a little while to show. But if they add all these regulations back, the jobs are going to be gone. Your energy independence is going to be gone. So I say this. I am looking at it very seriously. Beyond seriously, from a legal standpoint, I don't want to really talk about it yet. It's a little too soon.
So there you have it. That was President Trump last night talking with our good friend Sean Hannity. And he says, you know what? He's thinking about it, seriously thinking about it. And my question to you this hour of the program, do you think that Donald Trump should run for the White House in 2024? And if not Donald Trump, who? Because I got to be honest with you, I haven't seen anybody aside from Ron DeSantis who could actually win a national election. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Do you want President Trump to run for the White House? Well, I want to go right now to the Liberty University newsmaker line. He is the host of Saturday Agenda on Newsmax TV, our favorite conservative television network. Our good friend Joe Pinion. Joe, good to have you back with us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, my friend.
You know, that was an interesting conversation that the president had with Hannity. And I know, you know, there have been rumblings about this, but I got to be honest with you, Joe. I just don't see any Republican out there that's moving the needle.
Look, I think the hard truth is that it's still Donald Trump's party to lose, mostly because, to your point, there is no one out there save Ron DeSantis who is consistently and proficiently articulating an America First message, right? I think the left and the media, they want to try to paint this as a Trump forever movement. That's not what's happening right now. What we have right now is the Republican Party and in many ways a nation reborn in the mold of an America First commitment. And as long as President Trump remains the only person who was willing to stand up and say that the needs of the American people come first, that our responsibility to the world is to ensure that the nation that we have built, the standard of life that we have set, the beacon of freedom that we have always been, remains as it was intended. As long as President Trump is the only one beating that drum, then he will unequivocally be the leader of the conservative movement. He will be the leader of that America First agenda, and that's currently where we are today.
And Joe, again, this America First agenda, this ideology, I mean, this covers all backgrounds, all races, and I think that's one of the reasons that the most underreported story coming out of that election cycle was that President Trump had huge gains among black voters and Hispanic voters. That could bode very well if the president decides he is going to run in 2024.
Look, I think that the reality is that for a multitude of reasons, the stranglehold that the Democratic Party has had on minority voters is starting to break. I think you look at particularly with Hispanic voters, you can wake up in the next 4 years and Hispanic voters may be the new base of the GOP, tantamount to the type of alliance that we have with evangelical voters, if for no other reason, that they are the one block of individuals, particularly this generation, that you can't stick the word democratic in front of socialism and fool them. These are the grandchildren and children of people who lost their lives at the hands of socialism, at the hands of actual fascism, at the hands of individuals who promised the world, when in all actuality, we know that socialist policies have never worked in the history of the world. So those are the types of things that I think this new age, left-leaning Democratic Party, running left fast in the universe can expand, is coming to deal with the fact that their messaging is completely off base for the lived reality of certain minorities. And as more and more black people realize that they've been voting Democratic their whole life, that their parents voted Democrat their whole life, and yet somehow the conditions in their communities have not changed. They are more willing to be open to the messaging, but that is incumbent on us as conservatives, as Republicans, walking our talk and showing up in those communities, not just with the message, but with the method required to facilitate that change.
Joe, I'm curious to get your take on what's happening in Minnesota right now. We are waiting for the jury to come back with a verdict. And I got to tell you, I think a lot of the nation is on edge here. People are very concerned about violence, and rightfully so. Are you surprised by the comments being made by people like Maxine Waters and Al Sharpton? And just a few moments ago, President Biden said he's praying for the right verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. I mean, I think we all know where he's going with this.
And look, I think, to be clear, I think that irrespective of what anyone thinks, this is bigger than just the violence that we will see today. This trial is a watershed moment for the nation. I truly believe that. I think everyone has wanted to make this a matter of race. Yes, there are racial components of this. We are not a colorblind society. We are a society that should be driven by merit, but race exists. Let's be honest about it. We've gotten much better at it, but it's still there. But I think the mistake that many people have made is to try to make this trial all about race. It is not. I think what many people see on that tape is to say that I don't care if the person beneath Derek Chauvin's knee was a black person, a white person, an Asian person, a purple person, that is not the type of assistance, that is not the type of response that we necessarily want to see from law enforcement. And so I think that that's what we really are trying to achieve right now in this country, aside from George Floyd, is to say, what is the standard that we should be able to set, that everyone should be able to adhere to, so that we can restore that broken trust, so that we can become, as the Bible calls us to be repairers of the breach. Because we know, as Democrats and the left always say, trust the science shows us that less than 1% of members of law enforcement are responsible for the overwhelming majority of the payouts, the overwhelming majority of the really aggressive misconduct. But it's incumbent on us to make sure that when that misconduct is observed, that we can hold people accountable for it. So again, that trust remains, so that we're making sure that in that trust, we are facilitating the safety of the people who have signed up to run towards danger on our behalf.
Joe, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your thoughts on this program. Host of Saturday Agenda on Newsmax TV, Joe Pinion, God bless you. Thank you.
All right. God bless, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. So, I hear what he was saying about the police and this breach of trust, but I think the breach may have happened on the other side here. I mean, when you look at police in America, by and large, we're talking 99% of law enforcement in America, good, decent men and women who just want to come home at night after their shift. That's it. You're going to have some bad apples in the bunch. Now, look, I've heard the arguments, and the issue in Minneapolis, what did Derek Chauvin intentionally try to kill George Floyd because of the color of his skin? I don't believe they proved that. As a matter of fact, all of the videos we've seen, I heard nothing about race. I heard no racial epithets. I heard nothing that would lend any credence to that race had anything to do with this. There was no evidence of that, and that was presented in the courthouse. But again, this is all part of the left's narrative. And again, we are waiting for that jury verdict, and we will bring that to you if it happens live during our program. All right, let's go to the phones. Very excited to welcome back our good friend, Gene the Superfan. Gene, I was thinking about you just the other day.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Well, that's nice to know. I hope it was good thought here.
Oh, it was good. I thought, well, why hasn't Gene called me? We're kind of going through Superfan withdrawal here.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I'll tell you what, you're going to see a lot more of this, too, as your correspondent, because let's get right to it. Okay, especially with President Trump being on Hannity, you brought up that question, and I'm telling you right now, he will run for president again, okay, Todd? And you just can see what's going on in this country and how we're falling apart. It's absolutely disgusting. And to have a leader that we had before, like President Trump, it just shows you what this world's coming to. You understand?
Gene, I do understand. And I at this point, I don't see anybody else that could win the presidency except for Donald Trump. And I'm telling you, Gene, I've seen the president. He, by the way, I'm going to be down at Mar-a-Lago this weekend. And I can tell you, he looks young, he looks refreshed, he looks energetic. I mean, when you look at Barack Obama, he looks like he's 90 years old.
No, they all have age, you know, all through the, you know, I've always heard that through the president. It's not all president. He's just strong, and he's the lion for us. And, you know, we the people, our movement, you know, and all the popularity that he's talking about that want him to run for again, forget about it. He's gonna do it again, and I guarantee it, Todd. Remember that. Remember I said that.
Oh, Gene, I will. We will mark this tape, and we will bring this back when Trump decides to. I don't know how he would do it. Would he come down the escalator again? I don't know. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see how that happens.
I mean, that would be wonderful. Maybe Superfan could be right next to him too. You know, waving to the crowd. But, you know,
I love
Ty, we love our president, and you heard him say many times over and over, and I say this all the time on your show, we love you, and he loves us, and that's why he does. If you talked about America first, well, that's what our president does. He puts the people first, this country first, and everything that goes on in this world reflects on us. And you can see what's going on right now with this crazy Biden that we have, who's a puppet. And this country's falling apart, and we're going to get our president back.
Other countries are literally laughing at us right now. They know they can walk all over us because Biden is clueless. And I think there is very good reason to be very concerned about this man's mental faculties. Superfan, got to leave it there. Give us a holler back. It's good to have you back in the fold. Our official, unofficial Superfan correspondent, Gene from Florida. Good guy right there. Folks, we've got to take a break. And if you've noticed, I didn't realize I was on camera again. You'll notice that I've been enjoying a lovely, delicious Snapple. But they've got the, you know, they used to have the old bottles back in the day, but now they have these new environmentally friendly things. I don't know. Still tastes pretty good, though. I'm the mango tea guy. All right, got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, is it really snowing? I got some text messages during the commercial break from listeners up in the Kansas City area, and they say, Todd, it's snowing up here. It's May. What is going on? So 844-747-8868. Grace Baker, if it starts snowing in Memphis, I'm leaving immediately, and I'll be somewhere in, I don't know, Florida.
First of all, Todd, it's April still.
Oh, it is April.
Yes.
I'm already a month ahead.
Well, you also thought today was Wednesday.
I did.
Sorry.
This is true.
It is Tuesday, April the 20th.
Thank you, Grace. I'm getting old. I kind of forget things every now and again. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Waters needs to be relieved of her duty because what she's doing is creating race wars, and what's happening to this country is unbelievable. I'll tell you, people, the governors in other states need to follow this future 2024 candidate for president, DeSantis, because what he's doing now, he just passed the anti-riot bill into law, which protects these citizens here. If they're crowding these streets and they get run over by them, they run into somebody, they're going to be excused from any penalties. I mean, other governors need to follow suit with DeSantis. They really do, because this guy, I think, is going to be a strong candidate for 2024. Probably Ted Cruz is going to be in there with him as well as Trump is Trump as well. And you look at this Biden administration, you know, a couple of days ago, Biden says the administration orders ICE and CBT to stop using the term illegal aliens. I just said, shut up, Biden, you ignorant fool. How about we stop calling you president? You know, because what they're doing to this country is they're destroying it. And I think DeSantis has been an incredible role model for this country, for this state. And I think other governors need to follow suit with him.
Yeah, look, I like DeSantis. And, you know, there was a photograph taken a couple of days ago. DeSantis was at Mar-a-Lago, and the president and DeSantis photographed together, leading some people to speculate, well, could it be a Trump-DeSantis ticket? I don't know. But I would say that outside of Donald Trump, DeSantis is the only person out there right now in the Republican field that has displayed the toughness and the willingness to fight that the other Republicans, I just don't see it, Mark. So let's see what happens here.
Absolutely. This law, which goes into effect immediately.
Oh, immediately, yeah.
Grants civil legal immunity to people who drive through protesters, blocking a road, and allows authorities to hold arrested demonstrators from posting bail until after their first court date. The legislation increases the charge from battery on a police officer during a riot and adds language that could force local governments to justify a reduction in law enforcement budgets.
I think it's a terrific law. And Mark, it's one, we're coming up on a news break here, Mark, but it's a law that every governor, and you're right, every governor in the state needs to take a long, hard look at what they're doing in Florida. Because you know what's not happening in Florida? They're not burning down any cities. They're not looting anybody's business. And if they do, there's going to be you know what to pay. So I do say good for you, Governor Ron DeSantis. The new law called it's a new crime on the books, mob intimidation. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Just to give you a little update on that breaking news out of Long Island, New York, where some gunman opened fire at a grocery store, one person dead, two others injured, the gunman on the loose. They've released a photo of the suspect, and I feel fairly confident in saying this will not be one of those national news stories because it doesn't fit the mainstream media's narrative when it comes to these kinds of shootings. So I'll just leave it at that. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Liberty University newsmaker line. You know, we've been talking a lot over the past year or so of these government crackdowns on churches. They've been especially vile in the state of California, where the godless governor there, Gavin Newsom, has been especially strict on church houses. One of the churches, one of the pastors who decided to stand up to the government, well, we have some good news. They have won some court battles, and here to tell us all about that is the pastor of Godspeak Calvary Chapel, our good friend Pastor Rob McCoy. Pastor, good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you.
So here is the headline in one of the local papers. Ventura County supervisors dismiss contempt lawsuit against Godspeak Calvary Chapel. What happened?
Well, we did a cross-complaint on them, and we were in the discovery phase. And I would equate it to playing poker. And they've been using the taxpayers' money, hiring attorneys, and they were bluffing. And we called them. And then they folded their cards because in the discovery phase in our county, we have a 99.82% survival rate with the virus. And that does not merit the shutting down and violating of our First Amendment. And with our businesses, estimated 65% of our restaurants will never reopen. They violated their Fifth Amendment. So they have dropped their case, but we haven't dropped ours. We're still going after them. And the governor, he called the church non-essential. Abortion clinics are essential. Cannabis distributors are essential. But he said the church wasn't essential. And I can't live with that. That's why I resigned from the city council. I swore to defend the Constitution. And I can't yield to that. And we haven't, and we won, at least to the extent that they folded their cards, but we're still pursuing them.
Pastor, take our listeners back to the early days and what you guys had to go through there at the church.
Yep. So when we didn't know the severity of the virus back in early 2020, we were willing to comply by the CDC standards. And then we went into our Holy Week. April 4th was Palm Sunday. And on April 3rd, we wanted to do communion, which is our sacrament. And we complied by CDC standards. Our sanctuary holds 400. We had 10 chairs. It took us almost 4 hours to do communion. The press descended on us like we were going to kill everybody and be super spreaders. But to their credit, the press reported that it was the cleanest place in Ventura County. And I had gotten so much pushback and the threat to be censured by the council that I sat on. I'd been the mayor during that horrific shooting where we lost two of our congregants in the Borderline shooting. I love my city. I wouldn't endanger my city. We had ionization machines and UV lights, and we were very mindful. So we opened up, and then May 31st, we opened wide, no masks, no social distancing, after the governor praised all the BLM Inc. rioters who burned and looted Los Angeles. 75% of the businesses were Jewish-owned and targeted, and he praised them. And we realized this has nothing to do with the virus. We had been tracking ever since the Diamond Princess or Emerald Princess, I can't remember which it was. We knew at that point the severity of the virus, and we opened up, and we went all the way to August, and we hadn't had a single COVID case, and they decided to do an emergency restraining order to exert their tyranny on us, and they said that they were going to cite 1,000 congregants or visitors, and they named me in the lawsuit, and they sought the judge to have the sheriff enforce it and lock our doors. And we violated that restraining order, and I was brought into the court on contempt charges, and they've been fining us ever since. We've racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines, and I told them I'd rather see the inside of a jail cell than you getting a penny of that money. You have no right to do this. And now, as we're watching and seeing the data, even though they try to stifle it and they censor us on YouTube, we know the data. At the time I was with the judge, we had about 100 cases attributed to COVID deaths, and only two were from. The rest were with. The people who died from COVID was a 90-year-old man and a woman in her late 80s, and the rest were with COVID. It doesn't merit what they've done to us, and this is such a violation of our Bill of Rights that it's unconscionable.
Pastor, I'm curious, moving forward now, are you guys still going to have to pay these fines? Have those been wiped away?
Well, we're pushing for a declarative order that they have to tell us clearly on paper that they have erased the fines and lifted, our violation, supposed violation of the restraining order. And I'm pretty sure that that's their position. But we want to get it in writing from our attorneys. But they've basically said to the press, they just walked away. They just cleaned their hands of it. They don't want to deal with this anymore.
You know what I find shocking about this whole thing, and it's not necessarily the China virus, but it's this idea that so many of our fellow countrymen were just willing to surrender their rights. But beyond that, the number of evangelical pastors who were willing to shut down their churches because the government told them to.
You know, you think about our founders, the Continental Army dealing with a smallpox epidemic that the British were already immune to, and Washington had his troops inoculated, and they predicted a 5% death rate, and that was just to fight to secure liberty. Now we possess liberty, and we're surrendering it for a virus that has a 99%+ survival rate, and churches are using Romans 13 as unlimited submission to yield to tyranny. And Jonathan Mayhew, the minister, back in 1766 when he passed, he had written what John Adams said started the American Revolution, when he said obedience to tyrants is disobedience to God, and disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. They are violating our inalienable rights, and we must push back, and the church should be the place, because liberty isn't man's idea, it's God's idea.
Pastor, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate the update, and thank you for fighting the good fight and standing up for the Constitution.
I'm going to say the same to you, Todd. You are a gift to this country. Stay in the fight. You are a blessing to us all.
Pastor Rob McCoy, ladies and gentlemen, a great American patriot there in California, and we always appreciate him saying nice things about us, too. That's very nice. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Now, Grace, I understand every now and again, well, we get a lot of mail, and a lot of it is hate mail.
Yes, this is very true.
But
or
every
suggestions
now and
again, for my dog's name.
Or suggestions for your dog's name.
How I got another one today.
How are those going?
I got one today. I've just got to throw this one out there. Benjamin from Texas, he called in and he told me I should name my dog Grandma because then when I don't want to help somebody, like help them move or whatever, I can say, sorry, I got to go take my grandma on a walk or I got to go take care of my grandma.
Grandma's got to go outside to go to the bathroom. Is that?
Apparently.
So Grandma.
Grandma.
Grandma the Dalmatian. Uh-huh. Keep those suggestions coming, folks.
Keep them coming, people.
So I understand we got an interesting piece of mail earlier today.
Yes, we did.
What's going on?
Someone wrote a song for you and sent it to me. His name's Chris, and he sent me a song basically telling people they need to listen to your show.
So Chris, one of our listeners, mm-hmm. wrote a song about the Todd Stearns radio program.
Yeah, it's very creative.
So we have the song?
Oh, we have it.
Okay, can we listen to the song? Is
Heck
that
yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Oh, it's got a nice beat.
Tune in to Todd to get the best.
Is that an accordion?
He's on Newsmax with truth, not like the rest. I want to hear what's going on. I want to know it's true. The truth about the land I love, beloved red, white, and blue. American red, white, and blue.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm a Bible reading deplorable, and I pack a gun or two.
Or three.
I'm tired of hearing all that socialists do.
Oh, that's
true. Let's put our heads and prayers together and ask the Lord above. He'll show us all the way to go to save the land we love. America is the land that we all should love.
I feel like I need like a top hat and cane. Let's keep this going. Is there more? Oh, there is more. Okay. I need like a top hat, like chorus line.
So long, Big Chuck and Pelosi.
Oh, Pelosi.
You think you're king and she's her majesty.
She's a drunk.
We're mega
allegedly.
With some news for you, and we're being very clear.
A lush.
We're making America great again. Socialists, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Go on, get out of here.
Get out of here.
I'm a Bible reading deplorable, and I pack a gun or two.
Or three
I'm
or four.
I'm tired of hearing all that socialists
poo-poo.
Do.
Poo-poo.
Let's put our heads and prayers together and ask the Lord above. He'll show us all the way to go to save the land.
I'm detecting the big finish.
America is the land that we all should love.
The Todd Stearns Show, brought to you by your good friends at MyPillow.com. Promo code Stearns.
Mega has some news for you. We're being very clear.
Come on now.
We're going to win 22 and 24. Get aboard or get out of here.
Well, how about that? Well done, Chris. And I got to tell you, Grace, you can't beat a good accordion.
This is true. It's very classic.
That was a toe tapper, as they say.
Yes, it was.
Chris, thank you, and very clever. And we always love hearing from you guys. And thank you. That was
especially
a lot of work.
Especially when it's not hate mail.
No. And it was, look, those were some difficult lyrics. So he put a lot of work into that.
Very creative.
So very creative.
Thanks, Chris.
Mm-hmm, appreciate that. All right, folks, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, the reviews are coming in, ladies and gentlemen, on Chris, the songwriter, who wrote that really nice song for us. Jory writes in, wonderful song. Barb says, great song, Chris. Katie says, hey, that's tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Holly says, awesome song. Your listener did a great job. And Joni says, if your dog is a Dalmatian, name her Dottie. Oh, that's for you, Grace. Sorry, that's Dottie the Dalmatian. Wait, do we really have Chris on the line, the guy who wrote the song? Get out of here. All right, let's go to the newsmaker line. Chris, the songwriter. Chris, how are you?
Fantabulous, my friend.
Well, I have to tell you, what a great song you wrote.
Well, I had to borrow the other music, but the point being is that what I wrote, I thoroughly believe in, and of course, a lot of those lyrics I got from you, Bible reading, goat tunning, gun toting, and so forth. You know, but it's it probably took me maybe an hour or so to write that because it all comes easily for me, and I'm the guy that knows Lockwood Phillips personally, if you remember, and here in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Home of the Talk Station, one of the best talk radio programs in the great state of North Carolina.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah, Lockwood and I, we go way back and so forth. But anyway, I truly appreciate your program. Someone said earlier in your program that you are a blessing. Indeed, you are. And I'll tell you another reason I feel is that you are approachable. You don't mind talking to us peons and expressing yourself.
Now, Chris, hold on just a second. There are no such things as peons on the Todd Starnes radio program. I mean, you guys you're a part of the show here, and you are a great songwriter.
Well, it's I've got lots more of that, and I sent Grace another one and I rewrote the words to list. This Land Is Your Land, which, of course, probably people are not aware of the fact that it was written by Woody Guthrie, who was a communist.
Right.
And I've rewritten words to that. So it's no longer This Land Is My Land, but This Land Is Mega Land.
Oh, I like that.
As you're driving, I mean, I can send you hard copies for you so you can listen to them in your car if you'd like when you're going home.
Well, Chris, you are so kind, and Chris, by the way, if you haven't been on our Facebook Live page, you're getting lots of great compliments from the listeners, so you're getting a good thumbs up, and who knows, we might get a Grammy nomination out of this, who knows? Best talk radio theme song.
Well, as a matter of fact, that would be nice. I'm not looking for any credits, I just want to be sure that people understand that what you really bring it down to earth. And one thing before, while we're talking, I'd like to bring up something that a little while ago we were talking a lot about who the prospects may be, like President Trump may run for 24. But there's one individual that we have never talked about, but we need to consider him. He's a very brilliant individual. He is a military. He's educated at West Point. He was a senator. And quite candidly, I think a lot of what our great President Trump accomplished was because of his hard work. And I'm talking about Mike Pompeo.
Chris, I like Mike Pompeo, and we're going to have him on the show coming up very soon. And I think he would make a terrific president one of these days. And let's see what happens here. But I think a lot of folks are holding holding their fire until they figure out what President Trump is going to do. I mean, Nikki Haley among them. I don't think she's got a shot. But I do believe Pompeo, and I appreciate you. I completely forgot about Pompeo, but he would be a good guy. Chris, hate to do this, but we've got a skedaddle. Thank you again for that very kind song. And we may have to play that. You know what? We'll play that again in the next hour. Why don't we do that? We'll give folks, if you miss the song, we'll play it again after Dog the Bounty Hunter, who's coming up after the top of the hour news break. Grace, you're very excited about this.
I watch that show all the time.
So you're a fan.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in just a matter of a mere minutes, you're going to be talking to Dog on the phone.
Yes.
All right.
I'm very excited.
Okay. Don't get too, like, you know, fangirly.
I'll try not to.
We have to be professional.
I know.
You know what to do.
I do. I know what to do.
All right. Very good. Also, we have some brand new audio from Ilhan Omar. We're going to play that coming up in the next hour as well. She says, why do you need a trial? The guy's guilty. We all know it. Why do you need a trial? Do you understand how crazy these people on the left are? They want to destroy our nation. And one of the ways they're going to do that is, well, burning down our cities. All right, got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
I want to hear what's going on. I want to know it's true. The truth about the land I love.
Live from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have all of you gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables out there. I hope you're having a good day. So far, no verdict in the trial of Derek Chauvin. Our team is watching developments very closely, and if something happens, we'll break in and we'll let you know. In the meantime, all appears to be calm across Minneapolis and Brooklyn Center. There are a lot of police there, National Guard, just to show you how crazy it is right now. When police or firefighters are called out to some sort of an accident or a fire, they have to have National Guard protection. That ought not to happen on American soil, ladies and gentlemen. But that's where we are right now in America, where lawlessness is prevailing across many of our city centers. And we've got to get a handle on that. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, and we're just honored to have a great American patriot, a good Christian man. You know him as Dog the Bounty Hunter. Dwayne Chapman is with us. Dwayne, good to have you on the show today.
Thank you, sir, for having me. Good to hear you. Great.
So, you know, I want to get into a conversation. You introduced an idea into the national conversation a few days ago, talking about how law enforcement should consider using non-lethal alternatives, maybe using rubber bullets instead of lead bullets. What led you to this decision?
Well, thank you. There's two things that I've been focused on. One, of course, is to get the lead out, we've nicknamed it. And the second one is standard police officers training courses across the United States. So to the first one, taking the lead out of the bullet or replacing that with the non-lethal deterrent. I've arrested over 8,000 recorded arrests in a 40-year-plus history. I've probably shot 1,500 or more, mostly men, with some kind of non-lethal weapon to protect my or my family or, you know, anyone else around from getting killed from guns to knives to a lot, you know, things you wouldn't believe. So through my experience, I see that there is another way to stop and detain, handcuff a defendant, a bad guy, by other than killing him dead with a lead bullet. So in order to stop the killing in America, by police officers to guys that, you know, I guess, you know, I am completely agreeance with in the Bible where it says, if you take a man's life, you should have your life taken. In other words, face the death penalty. But, and I also believe strongly in the words, thou shalt not kill. So with that and the experience, I think I'm going to come up with something great that'll save lives on both sides of the line.
And again, I think it's important to understand you are pro law enforcement here.
Oh, yes, sir. I've, you know, been the bottom of that totem pole for 40 years. Oh, absolutely. And I'm pro gun. I wish everyone could have one. You know, there's some things about the guns need to be changed, and that's your mental health situation. But that we'll get into later. But right now, it's the lead of the bullet and the training of police officers.
Dwayne, I'm curious to know what the reaction has been from the general public and also from guys and gals in law enforcement.
20% say I'm crazy. The 80% say, dog, you're right, we got to do something. I'm getting police officers that I've spoken to on the streets, on duty right now, or, you know, this last week that's saying, boy, this is getting, you shoot someone to protect yourself or you kill someone, you're going to jail. So that's keeping a lot of police officers at bay because, you know, they don't want to kill anyone. They don't want to go to jail. So this is terrible by these shootings that have occurred.
You know, I watched your show for a very, very long time, and one of the things that I really appreciated as a person of faith, there were these moments where you actually had these heart-to-heart talks with people that you were hauling in and trying to speak truth into their life so they could get their act together and become a productive member of society. And dog, I'm wondering, what are you seeing today? I mean, is it getting worse out there?
Well, absolutely. It's getting, you see almost every day a cop is getting shot and killed or a bad guy is getting shot and killed. So, yeah, it's getting worse. It's got to stop.
Yeah, we've got video on our website just a couple of days ago here in Memphis. You had a cop car, and all of a sudden he was surrounded by these thugs on ATVs. Or four-wheelers, and they were trying to, they were taunting the police officer. It's just there's no respect anymore in America.
Well, no, it needs to be, you know, get gotten back as far as the taunting, you know, because someone taunts you. In some states, you must obey a police officer's command or demand. If you don't, you could be arrested. If that state doesn't have that law or that city, they can taunt all they want. You know, it's up to us to pass laws where you can't do that. But we, in the second part of this is the training. My family and I were trained by the United States Training Corps years ago. And we were trained on weapons for everything from cars. You wouldn't believe it. Okay. We had great training for weeks and, well, actually for a year. We were trained when we carry a firearm to carry it on our dominant side, left to right handed, but to put our taser in the middle. If Leland mostly carries the firearm in the group, and so Leland puts his taser in the middle and his firearm on his side where he doesn't ever not know what he's got in his hand. So an officer with 20 years plus experience was not trained for that. If she'd have been trained to have that taser in the middle of her vest, when she pulled it, she would not have been able to make a mistake. And when they were training us with that, I asked the lieutenant that was training me, why are we learning this? What's the deal? And he said, dog, there's so many officers have made the mistake of pulling the wrong weapon that we decided to train like this. So, and a lot of officers across America are not trained to wound. You know, the officers are trained to kill. So this all has to be revamped and changed up. I said this morning, and I came up with, I thought I was, you know, pretty good. The same ammunition that we use in war should not be used in our neighborhoods. Come on, you guys. You know, there should be training in self-defense, some kind of boxing or martial arts. You know, come on. The guy the other day looked to me like one guy, an African-American, was biting three police officers, and one of the cops gunned him down dead. Three guys can't whoop one guy. We'll get four guys. I mean, this can't go on.
So I think this is remarkable. 43-year career, you've been able to apprehend all sorts of bad guys without ever shooting or killing anyone.
Right. Well, I shot them. Let's watch it. I shot a lot, brothers, because, you know, I've used every non-lethal weapon allegedly there is out there over the years. The best one I have found is the pepper ball gun. I have an automatic. And they say it's a Mike Tyson left punch. And it doesn't, the pepper when it hits you doesn't make, you know, that's not what puts you to the ground. It's the punch. It is incredible. And what you want to do is you want to put that person that, you know, the perp or the fugitive or the perpetrator on the ground. You cuff them and then you pull them up. If they look like they're going to run, they're still crazy, you put leg irons on them. So, boom, boom, boom. They're alive, cuff them, leg irons. We've taken, like I said, guys down with guns firing at us, running at us. We've taken guys with methamphetamine, any kind of drug there is, out of their mind, and we've, you know, used a non-lethal weapon.
Dong, I'm curious, and we're going to have to wrap it here in just a second. You've got these lawmakers out there now that are boots on the ground, stirring up these crowds, saying there. Right. Maxine Waters says there needs to be more confrontation. When you hear that kind of language, what concerns you about that?
Well, here's the deal. I think that's absolutely terrible that I can – listen, you see them guys I've got in the back of the car bawling after 25 minutes? Everybody's got a heart. Unless they're no good, then don't talk to them. I agree with this that we need to arrest people. I agree that they need to get ready. But here's the deal. They arrest them. They put them in jail. They give them a ticket to come back. You don't think these guys know that? It's called a PR or OR, personal or own reconnaissance bond. So you go down there, you get booked, you jump a cop, you get a charge, you go down there, take your picture, get a ticket, see you later. Some states right now, Colorado's got, we're going to give them a free ticket bail three times. And if they fail to appear on the fourth time, we're going to make them post a bond. Come on. You don't see that the perp weighs his, you know, what's my punishment if I do this? And if the punishment is less than the crime, they're all in.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dog, always appreciate you coming on the program. Where can folks go if they want to get information, follow you on the social media platforms?
Well, we have a few. Number one, of course, is dogthebountyhunter.com. And we're setting up one right now that's taketheletout.org, I think it is, yeah. So I'll send you a couple links, though. Thank you very much for asking that. If you don't mind, I'll have my girl send you a couple links. And I should call her my girl, my fiance, my Francie. And I'd appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Anytime you'd like Francie or I on. And Francie is a country girl, so she has the woman's perspective. Isn't it amazing that 60% of women cops shoot less people than the men?
That is interesting. Very interesting.
Right. So I got Francie here. You meet her.
Good stuff.
But thank you, brother. Anytime you want to stop.
And, Doug, I have to tell you, my call screener, Grace, she is a huge fan of yours.
Oh, tell her I said my love.
We'll certainly do that. All right, Dwayne Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Dwayne, God bless. Be safe out there.
God bless, brother. You too. Aloha.
All right. There you go. Grace, he sends his love to you.
That was very nice of you.
That was very well. There you go. Your back.
I know. First Michael Knowles, and now Dog the Bounty Hunter.
You have an eclectic.
Apparently.
Clearly. All right. There you go.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So a lot of you folks not buying what Dog is selling. The Facebook page has lit up here. Ryan says, Todd, Dog's an idiot. Officers are trained to shoot to stop the threat. Don't be a threat to law enforcement. Good grief. Thou shalt not murder. We should do something about, but rubber bullets are a horrible idea. Give law enforcement more training. In the past, the liability was less expensive than proper training. Okay. Diane says, do you think criminals are going to use rubber bullets? Carlo replies, sure, as soon as they're done registering their guns. Oh, geez, Alou. Let's go to the phones here. Catherine, listening to us on the talk station in North Carolina. All right, Catherine, you heard what Dog the Bounty Hunter is recommending. What say you?
Well, I say that he's not really living in a realistic world. When he goes after a perpetrator, he's going after someone who's already been arrested. He knows what they've done. He knows they don't have any guns. And that's not what happens when a police officer stops someone randomly in the road, as we've seen many videos of the perp getting out and shooting and killing our police officers. It's not realistic, and criminals do not buy rubber bullets.
Well, that is true. They don't. And I think when you look at what happened, for example, in Brooklyn Center, it was clearly an accident. But the reality is this is a 25-year veteran of the force. And if a 25-year veteran of the force doesn't know the difference between a taser and her service revolver, that's a big problem. That is a training issue. That's not a bullet issue.
It is. But how many in America, in small towns, which that's a 35,000 population town outside of Minneapolis, how many police officers had ever pulled their weapon ever in that town? The drugs that are being brought in by these cartels, these Mexican cartels, are changing our police force because it is more dangerous for them now, but probably like back in the days when the Tommy guns were running around and people were shooting people in the streets. Not every city. I mean, I know you live in Memphis, and that's a big city, but a lot of small towns, police officer never, ever has to pull their gun because we're law-abiding citizens.
And, Catherine, that's a great point. I mean, if you took all the police officers in America and maybe polled them, I think you would find that, by and large, most of them have not had to use their service revolver. But here in Memphis, for example, it's a daily occurrence multiple times. So I see your point there. Catherine?
I mean, we have to do something about the youth in this country, whether it's get back to church and the Ten Commandments being taught in school to respect your elders, things like that. This gangster rap stuff, it has destroyed, I would say, probably two generations, because that stuff started in the 90s, maybe 80s.
Oh, no doubt about that, Catherine. And again, we talked about this earlier in the show. Take a look at the culture. What kind of movies are we going to see? What kind of music are we listening to? What kind of games are we playing? It's destroy, kill, and destroy. That's how people are entertained in America. And that's a problem, a big problem. Catherine, we got to run. Thank you for the great call. Do you agree with Dog the Bounty Hunter? Do you think the cops ought to get rid of the bullets and use something else instead? 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. We were monitoring the White House press briefing, and the PBS reporter at Public Welfare Broadcasting, what's her name, Yamichi Yamaguchi or whatever, I don't know. It doesn't really matter what her name is. She was defending Maxine Waters, and she was very upset. The Public Welfare Broadcasting reporter at was demanding to know why the White House was not defending Maxine Waters. Because everybody knows that Maxine Waters was not talking about getting violent in the streets. Meanwhile, you have the author of a book called In Defense of Looting. Her name is Vicky Osterweil, And she just posted a tweet a little while ago that called on her followers to attack law enforcement. She said, "This is not the time for defense, respectability, or reorganization. We got to take what we got and throw it at the mother fornicators." That's what she wrote on Twitter. She also believes that stealing your property and burning your property are direct, pragmatic strategies of wealth redistribution. In other words, if Grace has a Dalmatian puppy and you don't have a Dalmatian puppy, you have a right to go and steal Grace's Dalmatian puppy.
I've waited for that dog 22 years. They are not taking that dog from me.
And
they met with
force. Stuff.
Yeah.
And not rubber bullets.
We'll see.
All right. I'm just saying. Before we go to Congressman Jody Heiss, I want to play some audio. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Now, the audio is a little, you got to listen here. Ilhan Omar asked about the trial. She's in Minneapolis, ready for battle. Let's take a listen.
The case to me feels like a closed case where it shouldn't be really even questioned whether there will be an acquittal or a verdict that doesn't need the scale of the crime that was committed. I know that majority of the community has trust in the leadership of Attorney General Keith Ellison and the prosecutors that he put forth to be able to prosecute this case in a way that was dignified and just. And, you know, as the community is still on edge and feels that we are a community that has experienced injustice over and over again, that this might actually be the turning point. And so we
okay,
we
enough
are,
of her. Enough of her. Thank you very much. So basically saying, hey, look, why are we even having a trial here? We all know the guy's guilty. Well, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend from the great state of Georgia. All you WDUN listeners know who I'm talking about. Our good friend, Congressman Jody Heiss. Hey, Congressman, how's it going today?
Doing great, Todd. Good to talk with you.
You know, you hear people like Ilhan Omar, Maxine Waters, people in the mainstream media. You know, do you buy into the argument that Senator Ted Cruz posited earlier today when he said the Democrats really do want to see violence in the streets?
Yeah, I mean, how else do you explain this? I mean, we have had rioting taking place off and on throughout our country for a year now, and they have done nothing to stop it. And these are, of course, in Democratic-run states or cities. And the Democrats have sat by and allowed the looting, the arson, the destruction of personal property, the assaulting of individual private citizens' lives, on and on and on. And they have done nothing to stop it. We had 2 years ago Maxine Waters coming out against the president's cabinet, saying if you see them in a restaurant or getting gas or whatever, let them know that they're not welcome here anywhere anymore. And now we have more of this rhetoric. This is not an isolated statement by Maxine Waters and some of the others. These are comments that have been consistent with their nature literally for years. How else do you explain it but that they actually want this type of behavior because they continue to incite it?
We have been hearing reports that some Democrats might even be willing to sign on with some sort of a censure. Are you hearing those reports? And if you can you name any names?
I cannot name any names. I you know, could be suspect, but I've not heard any names, but I am hearing the same kind of rumors. Interesting, Todd, if she is censured, from my understanding, she will be removed as the chair of her committees. So she would not be removed from the committees themselves, necessarily, but from the position of chair. So that's a pretty significant punishment.
Well, I mean, there does need to be a message sent here that we just cannot and will not tolerate this kind of language coming from any elected leader. This is appalling. And when you look and see, go back to January the 6th, and you have President Trump out there saying, hey, be peaceful, be peaceful out there. And then you have Maxine Waters telling people to get out there and become more confrontational. And then a couple of hours later, you have two members of the National Guard that were injured in a shooting. And the mainstream media is silent about that.
Well, exactly. And Maxine Waters, interesting, made that those comments to rioters, telling rioters to get more confrontational. What is the next step beyond a riot? I mean, they're already burning and destroying personal property. I mean, it's like war is the next step. When you tell rioters to get more confrontational, that is an outcome that is horrible, because already they're engaging in criminal, illegal activity, and to tell them to do even more, it really is mind-boggling compared to what happened on January 6th, both with the president and many others who simply stood up for free and fair elections, and the attempts from the Democrats were to expel members of Congress, kick them off committees, and all sorts of punishment for just doing our constitutional duty. But they totally turn the head the opposite direction when it involves members of their own party who are literally inciting violence.
Congressman, I'm curious to get your take on Florida Governor Ron DeSantis putting out this anti-riot legislation, now the law of the land in Florida.
Governor DeSantis is a tremendous leader. He is a great conservative. He is a brilliant individual. He is going to make sure that this is going to stand the legal test. And listen, I think he's drawing a line in the sand as to what is going to be tolerated and not tolerated in Florida. As you look at what these Democrats are allowing to take place in other parts of the country, Governor DeSantis is just drawing a line in the sand and saying, you're not going to be able to get away with that here. End of discussion. I think it's a great move.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend from Georgia, Congressman Jody Heiss. Congressman, where do we go from here as a country? It seems as though the unrest continues to get more volatile every single day. And meanwhile, we have a very dangerous situation unfolding along our southern border. And quite frankly, nobody's paying much attention to that these days in the media.
No, and not only the media, the current administration is not paying attention to it. Here you have Kamala Harris, vice president, who has been tapped to take care of the border, to deal with it, and she doesn't even want to talk about it, let alone visit. And I was in a briefing this morning about what's happening at the southern border with the latest numbers and the latest information, and it continues to be horrible. We are seeing absolutely the worst invasion, if you want to call it that, illegal crossings of our border than we have ever seen in the history of our country, and we are not equipped to deal with it. And this administration is totally silent and refuses to do anything to address the problem.
All right, Congressman, we are going to have to leave it there. We always appreciate your great work. We know you're a busy guy, and thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day.
Always great to be with you, Todd. Thank you so much.
All right, Congressman Jody Heiss right there, folks, one of the good guys, also running for Secretary of State in Georgia. He is leaving Congress, and he wants to take on Brad. I never can get that guy's last name, but the current Secretary of State down there in Georgia. You know, a lot of people ask me, Todd, why in the world did you, as a talk radio host, why did you buy a radio station? Why would you do that? Are you nuts? That's what a lot of people asked me. But I wasn't nuts. I knew exactly what I was doing, and I am so glad I did. One of the chief reasons I bought my own radio station was to make sure that the conservative voice would not be silenced. I get to make the rules. I get to decide what shows go on the air. And I get to decide the content that is broadcast on this radio station, KWAM. If you live in Memphis, Tennessee, you know that we are a conservative blowtorch here in the Mid-South. We stand up for and defend conservative values. We defend the Constitution on the radio station that I own. And we also do that on this talk show. But the reality is, we can't really control what other radio stations do. Now, the case in point here is a situation unfolding in Florida. This is coming from Newsweek.com, where members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus are mobilizing against the sale of a well-known Miami radio station, AM 1260. This is a very popular conservative Hispanic Spanish-speaking radio station. But the Democrats in the Congressional Hispanic Caucus are outraged over this, and they do not want this radio station sold to conservatives. They want to silence the conservative voice on the radio there in Miami. Former or Florida Congressman Darren Soto told Newsweek enough is enough, and they want the FCC to reject the sale of the radio station. Folks, this is what fascism looks like in America. Not only are they silencing conservative journalism organizations on Twitter and on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram, now they are coming after the radio stations. And I'm telling you, we are in a very good spot here, and they may try to come after us, but they're not going to be able to silence us because we have a great big radio tower, we have a great big voice, and we have big, beautiful, huge microphones. And they're not going to shut us up. But what is troubling is that this radio station being sold to conservatives, you have the Democrats stepping in, and they're wanting the FCC to stop the sale strictly on political reasons. There's no other reason but political reasons. This is what we have to look forward to over the next few years in America. And I hope that you hate what this country is becoming, because in 2022, folks, we're going to have an opportunity to do something about it. Many of you stayed home. Many of you were never Trumpers. You chose not to vote. You wanted to send a message. Well, you know what? You screwed the country instead. But we got a chance to get it right in 2022. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Coming up on tomorrow's show, our good friend Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to drop by. Also, one of my favorite musical groups, Mercy Me, is going to hang out with us a little bit. They have a new music project out. Always fun when those guys drop by. And, of course, we'll always be taking your calls as well. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Josh in Little Rock, Arkansas on KARN. Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, it's good to talk to you, man. I appreciate your show and everything you do.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I agree with just about everybody else that has commented about Doug Chapman being garbage. I'm not saying that he's not a good dude. I'm not saying he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, but he's an outlier in what he does. If he really believed that you need to get rid of guns, then his son Leland wouldn't carry one at all. And I want to just touch on the differences real quick. He uses deceptive tactics to try and lure the people that he's trying to apprehend into a situation that he is in control of. Special weapons and tactics teams, they typically go and use the element of surprise on the suspect's turf. So they have to go where they are. Another thing, the pepper ball gun, that's nothing more than a souped-up paintball gun. The gelatin and capsule around that pepper ball is just a little bit thicker than a paintball. So it does not do nearly as much damage as what he's leading on to believe. And thirdly, the reason that cops carry guns, because when you've got a 6'4", 240-pound guy who's hopped up on PCP, pepper balls, pepper spray, tasers, none of that stuff is going to work on him.
Yeah, look, I think those are good points, and you know, it's a great argument here. And again, when you look at what happened in Brooklyn Center, and Josh, when you look at what happened in Minneapolis, those are not racial issues. Those, to me, are training issues. Clearly,
Absolutely.
I mean, 25 years on the force and you cannot tell the difference, that's a problem between your taser and your service revolver. And again, if you have four, and they had, what, four police officers there, they should have been able to get George Floyd under control and put him in the back of a squad car. And he was there at one point, and then he was out. So, look, all this is, I think, and again, I appreciate what Dog is trying to say here, but I'm not quite sure that's the issue. And the issue is not race. They're wanting to make it about race. But the issue here is training in the law enforcement community.
That lady cop has been on the force for 25 years. I guarantee you she was not trained to carry a taser until fairly recently, because those things have not been around for very long. And they have certainly haven't been issued to certain departments, smaller departments, until fairly recently because of budget cuts and budget problems. Also, Dog Chapman, he can claim to be a friend of the cops, but he's really not, especially when he uses terms like, or phrases like, they're trained to kill. No, they are trained to stop the threat. I would challenge him to find a police department training manual that specifically says, shoot to kill. He will not find it. He's throwing cops under the bus. I'm sorry. The guy is just a clown to me. I'm sorry.
No. Look, Josh, look, this is, you know, you have an opinion here, and I think a lot of people agree with you based on the comments that we've seen on our Facebook live stream. So, I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for listening to the show. And those are good arguments. And again, I'm not in law enforcement, but here on this program, we are pro-law enforcement, and we stand by the men and women who put on the uniform of this of the police departments across America. But I got to tell you, Grace, I know you love Dog. I know you love the Dog, but he stepped in it today.
Apparently.
Hey, by the way, do you want me to bring you back something from Mar-a-Lago?
Ooh. Maybe.
I can't say why I'm going down there, but I am going to be down there. And so I'll probably Tim Van Horn is going to be filling in for us. He is the morning show host at KWAM in Memphis. And so I'll probably be calling in, but I can bring back a souvenir.
Ooh, bring me back something for my dog.
Like a shelf. A what? Your dog?
Yeah, I'm just playing with you.
Are you going to have a name for the dog?
I will. I'm picking her up Saturday, people.
So
I
we will know.
Her.
So you're going to decide. You're going to look at the dog and you're like, oh, you are.
I'm going to be sitting in the car with her for 3 hours on the way home with my mom, and I will decide then.
All right. I hear your mom and grandma are big fans of the
dog. Oh, they are. Yep.
Wow. So it's a generational thing.
Apparently,
sit there and
yes.
Watch
we all love it.
The Bounty Hunter.
Heck yeah.
The quicker picker upper. All right. Got to run here, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow going to be a fun show. A lot going on. We're watching whatever's happening in Minnesota, so listen to your radio. And I'm sure we'll keep you updated, and your local radio stations will do that as well. Hey, ToddStarnes.com. Check that out as well. Get out there. Have a good day, America.